smiling at me. Nothing but blue skies do I see.
Welcome to Between the Covers, a weekly KABOO program all about books and the people who write them. I'm your host this week, Ken Jones. On today's show, our guest is Meg Vogt, author of the new book of photographs and poetry, My Coup, My Portland. My Coup is what Meg calls her variations on the haiku form, a poem in three lines of 5, 7, and 5 syllables. The book pairs Meg's My Coups with photographs from her Portlandia collection, scenes and characters from Meg's home city of Portland, Oregon. In the words of writer Davia Larson, Meg Vogt is what you would call, with absolutely no hyperbole, a Renaissance woman. From her northern Wisconsin childhood to her days as a video editor in L.A. and a ski bum in Colorado to her present incarnation as a professional and semi-famous, at least in her neighborhood of Sullivan's Gulch, dog walker, poet, diver, photographer, Meg has done, seen, and probably photographed it all. We're fortunate to have Meg with us now to talk about My Coup, My Portland, and her past and present incarnations. Meg Vogt, welcome to KABOO.
Thanks so much, Ken.
Meg, first a little of that very colorful background we mentioned in the intro. You were born and raised in Wisconsin in the town of Lac des Flambeaux.
Yeah.
A population around 3,000.
Wow, you did the homework, yeah.
And look, I'd never heard of the town before, located just south of Lake Superior. You posted a poem on your Facebook page which begins, "Surrender, Flambeau Town, you're being tested, ho wah." And the rest, unfortunately, we can't read on the radio, FCC regulations.
Okay.
What was it like growing up there, and how do you view it now?
Flambeau Town, it's a Chippewa Indian reservation, and moved there when I was three and was there through my high school years. And people are now asking, wow, what was it like to grow up on the res, be that white kid on the res? And at the time, it's like, well, it was amazing. I grew up on a chain of 8 lakes, just woke up and rolled into the lake in my canoe with my res dog, Carly, and beautiful people. And so now I'm kind of backtracking into, you know, we didn't learn a lot about what was going on historically with my dear friends, namely Celia Patterson, who raised me, an elder.
That was the Chippewa tribe?
Yeah, and so Celia was a highly respected elder, yet she cleaned our house and did my laundry every day. But she was, you know, pretty much my main influence in growing up. And her great-granddaughter and I, Melissa, are really staying connected. And her friend, her sisters and cousins and dear friends I still have on the res. And, you know, that you're so surrender, I guess it's just me with my sobriety work and seeing, you know, what I saw as a kid with a lot of trouble with alcoholism on the res, and now it's gotten more into heavy drugs. And there were several elders on the res who influenced me, and I really am getting more rooted in this work and wanting to be there for them somehow. And actually, with this book, My Coup, I have a couple other ones I'm working on. One is My Coup, Deep Blue, which is my underwater photography, and another, My Coup, My Kin, which deals with issues on the res. And I have some really great shots. I'm able to just go right down into powwow and take some close-up shots and fun behind-the-scenes shots. I did a show, and I'm going to do another show in coffee shops. I'll be doing a show up on Alberta in Just Bob's, and probably I think in June, and it's called Behind the Dance. And so really sweet shots of beautiful regalia and little kids dancing and keeping the generations.
And that's,
you know,
all of Lac des Flambeaux?
Yeah. So
you've never really left it behind.
No, I'm definitely, you know, I've been back there. It used to be just, you know, funerals. It's a pretty heavy duty cancer zone. But now lately, I've been back a few times and just staying really connected with close friends there and really wanting to be part of the solution with what's happening. And so these books I'll be successful with, and any money I get is just going to be towards that kind of healing.
You know, and we'll talk about that a little later, too. Yeah. I know you have some other ideas that you'd like to fund with the books. We mentioned you then worked as a video editor after leaving Locke de Flambeau in L.A., and that was during the O.J. Simpson trial?
Yeah.
That must have been something. All of Los Angeles and most of the nation, I guess, was kind of focused.
Yeah, that was a pretty long-term job that I had going there. Yeah, so I went to school for sound engineering, and I kind of rode the digital wave. And so when I finished school, everything was digital. So I had done a music video for my final project, and so got into more of the video end and was able to get a job at E! Entertainment Television as an editor and, yeah, did the daily news recordings of the O.J. trial, the news clips of what was the latest with the trial. So, yeah, that went on for a good long time, and I stayed on with news after that.
After that, we mentioned the ski bum part in Colorado. Yeah. I was wondering, moving around like that, was there something you were kind of searching for at that point? And is that what brought you eventually to Portland?
Yeah, well, Yeah, a lot of moving around, and Portland's been the longest place I've lived, and I'm here to stay. I love Portland, thus the book Mike, Who My Portland. So I had gone to summer camp in Colorado, and then when I was looking out at Pikes Peak from Sunday Vespers, from Sanborn Western Camps, High Trails Ranch, I'm like, man, when I turn 30, I'm going to have a house in the mountains. And so sure enough, I bought a house in Durango. And lasted 2 years as a ski bum, you know, making no money. So, all right, time to get real. So, yin to the yang.
I thought that was a lucrative profession, a ski bum.
Man, it's a happy place. It's my happy place. And such a beautiful place. So I don't know why I decided to leave the mountains. I was 4 minutes from the ski resort, Purgatory Ski Resort, and then went to L.A. And I did time there. I did 3 years there. But a beautiful experience. And E! Entertainment Television, I haven't seen it since. It was kind of hard to work for them with that kind of programming where Joan Rivers is judging what people are wearing. But
but you know, it's a living.
Yeah, and it was still the tape-to-tape editing. So I was squeaking by, and then it went to digital. And so I kind of got puked out of Portland. My dog got stolen. My truck got stolen. My relationship ended. But I did get certified as a massage therapist there. And while I was editing, and so moved back to Durango and was able to get massage work up on the mountain in Durango, and then met my wife Deb, and we headed out here in January 2000, and have been here ever since.
And when you got to Portland, I read that that's where you first took up photography. You bought yourself an underwater camera to capture what you saw while scuba diving. Can you tell us that story and how it led to a deeper involvement, forgive the pun, with photography?
Yeah.
Which is the focus of this book we're talking about.
Right. Actually, and that's a really good point, is that, well, okay, so with the photography, I was a videographer, and when I was scuba diving, I got one of those plastic cameras going to, you know, get some, yeah. So that didn't last. That's just, you know, so. And in Davia Larson's article that you mentioned, Love Her, and her article from yourlivingroom.com, I had mentioned that my mom had passed, and I was able to buy a pretty heavy-duty underwater setup. It's pretty pricey getting the housing and the strobes and everything to do that right. I wanted to really, you know, tell that story. I'm a documentary photographer, and to draw into this Maiku book, I'm now like more of a documentary photographer with the underwater shots in what's really going on instead of the pretty fishes, you know? Because now, you know, diving in Hawaii and seeing turtles with growth on their face, and they're really distraught. And what happened with this Maiku book is it's getting through to the other side of a healing process, which was triggered by diving in Indonesia. My wife and I went, you know, trip of a lifetime, still paying it off. And it just turned out, this was in 2014, we're on this island, my best friend died suddenly. And then
was while you were on vacation? Friend was there or back
no,
here in
back
Portland?
Here, I'm texting him like, wait a second, and just suddenly dies. And then literally that next day we're scuba diving, and I see the worst coral bleaching I've never experienced. It looks like a tub, it looked white, just dead coral, you know, go up to the top of the reef to get some beautiful shots. And it's these beautiful fish just skidding off these white porcelain top of this reef. And I was just, it just really set me up for pretty deep depression, and, you know, diving there then through the next few days was, you know, when we go diving and you see a fishing line, you just grab it, stick it in, you know, your BC and bring it back, clean up as you go. Well, this was impossible, and now there's a lot of videos you see with the plastic bags floating by and the diapers and the just...
So it pollution was, and also climate change, I think, is also destroying the reefs.
Yeah, so that just... Yeah, and then just out in the boat, and there's these bays are full of plastic water bottles, and just how the locals kind of got used to just seeing that. And, you know, they're trying to teach people not to throw stuff in the ravine and have it just wash out during the rain season. But anyway, this really kind of got me spiraling in 2014 into a heavy depression. And I'm like, okay, I'm trying to address it. And I don't mean to get heavy, but I really feel like there's a lot of intense... I lead the women's drumming group at Cedar Mountain Drums, and there's, you know, there's a sharing circle, and we talk a lot, and there's a lot of heavy stuff going on, and people really struggling, and just this is a book of hope. Got me through literally 3 years of health issues and trying to address the depression. Like this wonderful doctor, Jennifer Rosenbaum, who's now working up in Seattle. I wish she was still here, because she's really patient with me. She really wanted me to get on antidepressants. I'm like, well, I really think that food and exercise, that's what I'm going to do. I don't want to get on drugs. I'm going to food. But with exercise, I have PTSD, so my adrenals are shot. So to run would bring me back, you know. So I'm like, okay, I'll deal with the heavy metal situation. I have mercury and lead off the charts, probably from the res. And that's another story. But anyway, so I'm like, okay, I've done a couple rounds of chelation. I'll try to just get these heavy metals and try to get some energy back. Dealing with that, well, I kind of botched that, so just released these toxicities back, who knows where, in my system again. And so, and then my old dog Barnaby was up nights and we didn't sleep, so it was just wow.
A bad time.
Yeah, and I don't mean to be, you know, sounding like a victim here. That was the best thing that happened to me, was to hit bottom. You know, dealing with the food allergies too, finding out I'm celiac, and, you know, hey, people, don't do refined sugar, just don't do it. I gave up the hard stuff. There's a Mike Hu in this book, it kind of jokes, it's about, you know, the denial about, I gave up the hard stuff. Bourbon is the exception.
And margaritas.
Yeah.
I remember that one. Yeah, I'll actually ask you to read a few. I just wanted to get into the book.
Kind of through
this back door.
But I brought that up just because it's a healing part. This is the other side of that healing process. And you know, it's like, wow, to start over and all this book is, as my friend Chris Tanner said after reading this book makes me happy. It's about
It's very uplifting.
It's about healing.
Yeah, without a doubt.
It's not a self-help book. It's a healing book.
Again, as Davia mentioned in the intro, you're well known in your Portland neighborhood. That's Sullivan's Gulch, which isn't far from KBOO, Northeast Portland. And there you own and operate a very popular business, Dog Rules, !
Yes.
And you drive the big blue dog bus.
Yeah, the famous dog bus.
How did you get started with that? Because then I'm going to ask you how the photography and the dog business led to this book, My Portland.
Yeah, Dogs Rule. Well, it's funny because people think I got that dog bus as some promotional tool, but in actuality, I started Dogs Rule in 2004 and was loading up the dogs in my Toyota pickup and have a bad shoulder from my ski bum days and couldn't pick those dogs up anymore. So I just fantasized about walking them on a vehicle, and voila, there was a blue bus. I definitely wanted those bluebird style, not the van style, but... So I go over to Boring, and I just bought their Bluebird bus and learned how to drive it, heading back down I-84, and painted it
like blue. That's some driving lesson.
Yeah, they're like, just put it here and just check your mirrors. Okay. Actually, there's a – oh, it's in another book that I have about the – it's the book – I have a Maiku about that. Let's see, how to drive the bus. Oh, I won't get into that book now, but it's called – it's called Tales from the Blue Dog Bus, and so it's also my coup. And since I've been doing this for so long, the dog stories, so these dogs are my characters from puppyhood until literally in 2016, six of the old-timers passed, including my Barnaby. So I know these guys through their whole lives, and the personalities are just like, you're laughing one minute and you're crying because they leave, you know. But it's a great book with stories of in the parks and crazy dog people. Dog people are crazy, yes. So yeah, it's just like, it's great. It's just, you know, I tried doing the corporate thing, just not happening. And in 04, my wife Deb diagnosed with stage 4 metastatic colon cancer, went to her liver, which 4% survival rate, actually. So I just bailed on whatever job, and I was wanting to just be present for her. And had worked with In Defense of Animals, Matt Rozelle, love him, and had helped him with dog walking. And I'd done a little bit backing him up, and then just put a few ads out. And word of mouth was amazing, especially moving to the Gulch from being up on Alberta. Moved into the Gulch, and that's a lot of my clients are there. So on the dog bus, I was able to get a personalized plate that says WAG. So I say that stands for We Are Gulch, because I painted the bus a light blue and then invited all the kids, even, you know, my dog clients from around Northeast Portland, whoever wants to come, including my 70-something friends who have – there's a picture in the dog calendar. You'll see on our website I have it for sale. It's on gembedproductions.com. I have that for sale, as well as this book. My 70-something women friends live in Kitty Corner to me, painting on the bus. And then my 2-year-old friend who's just, you know, just very serious, painting on the bus. And so, yeah, We Are Gulch. That's what WAG stands for.
Now, we've mentioned Maiku quite a bit. The book itself features your photographs, of course, and those photos are mostly of places in and around Portland. There's some nature photos in there, too. Not a whole lot of dog photos.
But no, that comes
that's a
that
separate
comes
book. And also it includes your poetry, which is a take on the traditional haiku form. That's 575 syllables of 3 lines, traditionally, usually. And you call your take on that maiku. How would you describe a maiku? How does that differ from a haiku?
Well, it's funny. You get people who are very strict about, you know, hey, wait a second, you know, that's a senryu, not a maiku or a haiku. And then, you know, so I was like, okay, at first I called them my faux-kus, F-A-U-X kus. And then it's like, it's just maiku because, as my wife will tell you, I'm not much of a rule follower when I have to question everything. It's not follow rules if they make sense. But so I just, it's just these observations, you know, and the senryus, it's like, yeah, they can be funny and more, it's closer to that with, you know, it's a little bit of politics in the book. So, yeah, the only thing I've drawn from the haiku is the 575 form. And so it really does stem from the being out on the dog bus and just snapping photos as I go. A lot of them are my favorite coffee shops. Again, I mentioned Just Bob's. Like, there's a great shot I got. I'm just sitting there sipping my coffee, and I look, and it's the backside of this tall black guy with this total fro. And he's got this tie-dye shirt on with purple pants. So it's the back of him. And the guy at the cash register, he's this total goth, like the pierced nose, black, the tats, black tats, black. And I just love that contrast. So in the Maiku book, it's a 7x7, like, coffee table, just little book.
Beautifully designed.
Thanks. I tried to do the kind of Japanese, you know, minimalist, just black cover with a red Maiku and then gold My Portland scripted underneath it. So the minimalist thing is there. And then there's this yin-yang motif throughout through photography, for example. Hilarious, just up from Sullivan's Gulch on Broadway is Cha-Cha-Cha. And I snapped this shot of the motorcycle cops just got together for a burrito, apparently, and they lined up their fat motorcycles all perfectly aligned. There's like 3 or 4 just right outside Cha-Cha-Cha's, and you could see beyond them inside on the windowsill are those fat white helmets they wear all in a line. And then that blue, what kind of blue? It's not turquoise, it's like bright blue, like Mexican, you know, Cha-Cha-Cha with that. And thankfully, Byron Will, I took a photography class from, and showed him this shot of this Cuban beach of the palm trees in the wind, and it was like amazing. He's like, yeah, but it would be nice to have it, like a splash of red right in the corner there. And so I always think of that. And so right at that Cha-Cha-Cha moment, this woman in a red jacket walks up. I'm like, right on, there's my splash of red.
Perfect. But,
so that's the yang, as are these motorcycles all lined up. And literally, Kitty Corner across from them, Jacques, which is no longer there, pink stucco, the rainbow flag, gay bar across the street. And in front of Jacques is this pink little moped, pink little scooter there, you know? So that's
The yin is the masculine,
So you got the motorcycle cops, and you got
the pink
yang, little,
at the feminine part.
Yeah, so there's some nice contrast in the book with like that. And then
we should mention that you're non-secular here because you also have a shot of Porqué No, which is another Mexican restaurant. So you're not playing favorites with Cha-Cha-Cha.
Oh, well, the margaritas, yes. Everyone knows it's hard to give up those margaritas.
Yeah, I thought at this point, just to give listeners a taste, maybe if you could read a few from the book.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to read the ones I marked here, but I marked three in particular.
Oh, did you? I want you to read those that you marked. I would like to read.
Okay. How about we alternate?
That would be divine.
Go first and then I'll...
Thank you.
I've got three here.
I appreciate that. Okay. Let's see now. Okay. This is a sweet, 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 sweet moment here. My dear friends, Chris Tanner and Lisa Chickenons have a cabin up on the mountain, Mount Hood, and at Camp Creek. And I was heading up to see them, and Chris texted me, "Hey, man, bring your camera. There's these little baby robins. They just hatched, and they're right up on our porch, just above the porch light. Oh, my God, it's the most precious photos that I took of these guys." And the one on the left page here is this little guy with his fuzzy little head. His eyes aren't even open yet. His big old robin beak, you know, is like this, like half open, like, ow. What just happened, you know, is resting his head on the side of this beautifully, you know, this nest with nice depth of field, this blurred background. So the blur really plays into, like, his state of mind, like, oh, man, ow, what happened? So there's him on this left side with the Maiku, and then I'll tell you opposite after I read the Maiku. Maiku, you wake feeling weak. You're not alone in your fears. You're never alone. So that's part of my healing process, like, ow, you know, gotta get moving, man. But just know you're not alone if you're surely struggling right now. And so opposite the picture is this little dude with his siblings. And I stood there watching the mom come back and forth. And, you know, just a few hours old, they're getting fed some nasty bugs and worms. So they got their beaks wide open to the sky, and their heads, their necks are extended out. And they're just like, and it reminds me of that Queen video. Mamma mia, mamma mia.
Bohemian Rhapsody, of course.
Mamma mia. Yeah, so, you know, it's just like, wah. You know, so it goes from that yin shot, that poor dude struggling, to like, yeah, celebrate, man. You're not alone. You got your peeps with you. Just, you know, sing out loud, right?
And here's one I picked. This is on two pages. The first page, the one on the left, and it bleeds over a little onto the right, is, I think, your home in Northeast Portland. Is that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then I think this is the interior of your home. It shows three pets, a dog, and two very well-fed cats on a rug in the sun.
Kids. Those are my kids.
And the Maiku is go big or go home. Like, going home's a bad thing. I'll gladly go home.
Nice. Nice. Thanks, Ken. Yeah, that's me on the front porch with my Barnaby, who's gone now, and... Yeah.
Now the last haiku in the book is not your own.
That's a surprise.
It is. Oh, okay. I won't mention that.
You have to get the book to know what that is.
We shouldn't talk about it then, because actually it's a favorite poet of many people who...
Okay. If you want to go for that, then I want you to read it then.
Is that okay? If not, we'll just, we don't have to, we can cut this out.
I think it's timely that you do read it, actually.
Oh, because she died about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is, you sure you want me to read it?
Yeah, it's after this the whole book is about healing and celebration. And so this is a nice close to, like, hey, let's all be, you know, true to ourselves and come together and to trust and love and, you know, happiness. And then this is a beautiful close, I think, to the book.
From a wonderful poet. And the reason I mention it, and against maybe your wishes here.
No, it's your right.
It's by Mary Oliver, who died 2 months ago. And she has quite a following. You know, there was quite an outpouring of a celebration for her life and grief over her death. Mm-hmm. And this is her haiku.
Yes.
Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? That's beautifully put, just concise and powerful.
Yeah, it's perfect. Filled in perfectly. 575, actually.
So, did you want to tell us why you chose that? I already ruined the surprise, I think, for readers. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, it's just this whole process. I've just been guided, and that just came to me. And it's like, well, of course, I need to end with that. It just like, wow, wait a second, that does fall in line. 575, and you know, I years ago I came upon that walking the dogs up. Where was I? What schoolyard was that? It was etched into the sidewalk.
It was really?
Yeah. And I'm trying
what a literate city we live in. Isn't that where you get Mary Oliver graffiti?
Yeah. Love Portland. Love Portland.
Of course, that they probably do the same in Lac de Flambeau, right?
Oh, yeah. That's another tale. We'll come back when I got that Mike Who My Kin book out.
Now, you mentioned, those two other books. On the book flap here of Mike Who My Portland, you mentioned that there'll be two coming out this summer, Whatever Man, Tales from the Famous Dog Walker, and A Death in the Gulch. Those were a little different than the ones you talked about earlier here?
Well, I knew that I'd have to change that title. Whatever, man. And that's not Whatever Simpson. It's from, it's quoting, see, now I'm drawing a blank. It's, anyway, so
there's
I changed
a lot of people
to,
who say Whatever Man.
Yeah, but this is Janis Joplin when she, you think in Monterey, she just gets out on the stage and Whatever Man.
Wow,
and that's just
way
kind
ahead
of the
of
tone.
Her time.
Yeah, so it was like it was a story in the book of you know, the day was going great with the dogs, and with the dog bus, I'm either confronted because I have too many dogs, or people are psyched that I brought the party and they're like, oh my God, love your bus, or it's like they call Parks and Rec and you have too many dogs. And so it was a beautiful sunny day, and I was going up to Ross Park, and it's like everything, I'm unloading the dogs, and no one's yelling at me for having the dogs poop everywhere. Don't worry, I'm going to pick up the poop. I have to have what I call the turd talk with them. And so in the soulful words of Linda Hornbuckle, she would always say, thank you, Jesus, after she was singing. And so then it's like, yeah, everything's going smoothly, and then after I bring in the last four rounds of dogs, something happens and it shifts everything to being once again just a crazy like turn of events. So I just have to say, you know, whatever, man. Soulful words of Janis Joplin, whatever, man. So it's better written than it is that I just mentioned it now. But so that actually I just changed that because I was going to do like this trilogy, but it's just I'm going to fit it all in one book where it's just the stories of, you know, first the dog bus, the celebration around the bus, the community building, taking the kids out for, you know, sledding and literally taking the Brom kids at Grant High School out. And they put a disco ball in the bus and decorated the bus and they're dancing. And, you know, so it's as much about, I was interviewed by a couple kids for school. It was really precious. And then we talked about how the bus is as much about community as it is about getting the dogs out.
Then the second title, Death in the Gulch, is that about the friend you lost while you were in Indonesia?
No. This is a children's book.
Oh. Such a mournful title.
Oh, my God. No, there's some good lessons. And it's hilarious how that got started. Facebook has been, I love and hate it. Everyone think loves and hates Facebook, but I don't know, several years ago, I posted this funny photo. My cat had gone upstairs into the bathroom, grabbed the feather duster, pulled it down the steps, and into the middle of the living room sat this feather duster. Hilarious, like in the middle of the night. So I just took a picture of it and posted it. I'm like, oh, my cat saved us from the, you know, feather duster heading towards our room to murder us in our sleep. You know? And some people I love, that's what I love about this in the Mike Who book. It's like people jumped in with their own Mike Who and their own, you know, everyone's just having fun with it. And that's what it's all about, is getting bringing people together. So this whole feather duster thing, and like, oh my God, it needs to be the Friday like cliffhanger. And so I just did this whole series of funny shots about how the feather dusters are coming in and to murder us, but the cats, the alley cats, have come and helped us, and Avery and the gang, and you know, but it's become overwhelming. And anyway, there's many lessons. My cat who killed the feather duster, you know, it's just gotten too dangerous. He's going to take care of my wife and me, and so he takes us to this deserted island. And so, you know, it's just this beautiful place. There's the wise octopus when they go diving with these messages. And then, you know, and so, but then you don't know your neighbors. And there's a Komodo dragon when we were diving in Komodo National Park in Indonesia. So it's like, yeah, you just don't know your neighbors, man. And so I got this close-up of a Komodo dragon drooling. And anyway, so it's just like, okay, you can try to take your, you know, people to paradise, but there's going to, you know, you got to face your fears. You got to come back. And they're trying to get the dogs involved to help them. But the dogs are like, you created this mess. So anyways, these great lessons. And finally, it clearly gets resolved. Everybody gets along. And it's a lesson on communication and forgiveness and coming together. So it's again, building a book around my photography and with a quick story, not quicker than I did.
How can listeners find out more about the books? And well, My Portland's out.
Yeah.
And that's available, but the other two books are coming out this summer. How would they be able to know when it's released and buy a copy?
Oh, well, yeah, to get the My Coup book, it's on Gembed Productions with an S, gembedproductions.com. But I will mention I am looking for a publisher, and I have a My Coup for you. Let's do this, my friends. I'm ready and able to hit the road running.
That's a perfect note to end on.
Yeah.
Well, Meg Vogt, thanks so much for coming into
Thank
KBOO today.
Thank you so much, Ken. I love KBOO. I love your work. You to me are like the next generation Les Sarnoff, you know, all about community and
the radio station, not me. Yeah.
You. What your work that you do, bringing people out and you know, bringing art and music and community. Yay.
Well, we have a great community in Portland.
Oh, wait.
Even beyond Sullivan's Gulch.
Yes. I have a My Coup for you, too.
Oh, thanks.
3, 4. Have you met Ken Jones? Someone said as he walked by, what an awesome guy.
Wow. Well, that's gonna just shoot up the charts, I think. Or cause listeners to tune out.
No, stay tuned.
Oh, again, thanks very much, Meg.
Thank you.
We've been talking with Meg Vogt, author of the new book of photographs and poetry, My Coup, My Portland. You can find out more about Meg, her new book, and her photography at Gembed Productions, that's G-E-M-B-E-D Productions.com. I'm Ken Jones, and this has been Between the Covers on KBOO Community Radio. Many thanks to Meg for visiting us at KBOO, and to all of you for listening.
Blue days, all of them gone. Nothing but blue sky.